The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Punt. Big week of European football coming up with the return of the group stages in the Champions League and the UEFA Europa League. No Dave Kellner this week, he's elsewhere, so I'm Mark Walton filling in for a while. But importantly, we still have the right man in the studio, Mr. Lee Phelps.
I like you, you're more complimentary than Kellner. Yeah. You can stay.
I'm trying to stay, yeah.
Very good. I don't know, where is Kellner?
I don't know. Has anybody seen him?
No, I haven't seen him since his nap lost on Saturday, but then mine did as well. So no, he's broadcasting to the 2,500 William Hill shops, isn't he?
Yes.
I'd rather be in here, to be fair.
Well, I think they'd rather he was in here as well.
Yeah, no doubt, yeah. That's true.
Big week in Europe this week, Lee. But before we get to that, we'll just have a quick look back at the weekend Premier League action, because a few early clues to who's going to be the front runners for the Premier League. We'll start with Chelsea, Lee. They're unbeaten, 100% record. Mm. And they very much look the side to beat at the moment. 8-11 for you, is that a fair price?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, they look the best team. They look the team who have the most strength in depth, the team who can score the most goals this season. They've got Diego Costa, who's just like settled into life all right in the Premier League. Fabregas is playing brilliantly, and just so many players. I mean, I think every time we speak on this, I run through all the players, and it's just, they've got like 10, 12 players who are just getting any Premier League team. Yep. So I see no reason to oppose them. It's too short now. You know, pre-season, we like the Chelsea 1, Man City 2. Straight forecast at 4-1. I still think that's what will happen, to be honest with you. I know Man United have shortened dramatically, haven't they?
Yeah, we'll move on to them then. They're 7-1 at the moment, shortened after this weekend. An emphatic 4-0 win over QPR. Granted, QPR weren't at their best, but encouraging signs for Man United with the likes of Di Maria playing very well. Herrera had a good game. Rojo did okay. Falcao came off the bench and got a nice reception. It's starting to come together a little bit there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we spoke last week, I can't remember if it was on the punt or on the TV previews we did, about, you know, it's pretty obvious, but I compared Swansea v Man U at Old Trafford this season and the final season of Sir Alex Ferguson's reign, and the difference between how many crosses they got in, how many passes they completed in the attacking third, how many shots they had inside the area, etc. It was unbelievable. You know, no surprises. They start getting more crosses in the box and more shots in the area, and they start scoring more goals. And I thought Di Maria was excellent. Thought he looked like he lapped it up being in front of that crowd. But I think it's a bit of an overreaction to half the price for the title. I've thought they'd finish in the top four ever since the transfer window signings started to come in, the big ones. And I think they will finish in the top four, but they're not going to win the title.
No,
they'll hammer the rubbish teams in the Premier League, and I think they'll struggle a bit against some of the better teams. I think they'll have a similar season to Liverpool, but not quite as good. So fourth, maybe third, mind you, but not top two for me.
Yeah, they still look a little bit vulnerable at the back, don't they?
Yeah.
And QPR couldn't punish them, but you put Chelsea's attack against them or Man City's, and I think they'll have a few more problems.
Yeah, and QPR should have scored. You know, that chance they had in the first half was a fantastic chance. I mean, I know he was a little way out, wasn't he, the player, but I thought it was a sitter. Even though he was quite a long way from goal, all he has to do is connect with it and lift it, and it's a goal. No one's going to get back to chase back from there once De Gea had come out and made a mess of it. So, yeah, they are susceptible. I think everything just went their way on Saturday, and they looked great. You know, on Sunday, they looked fantastic. No taking anything away from them, but 14s into 7s is just a massive overreaction.
Arsenal have done some shrewd business. Looked as if they were going to get a win against City.
Should have done, shouldn't they?
Yeah. So what do you make of Arsenal and City after that?
Arsenal, same old, not enough leaders in the team, not strong enough to close a game out. You go 2-1 up against the champions at home, you finish that game as 2-1 winners, don't you? That's what you should do.
Yeah.
That's, you know, if you're going to win the title, obviously. So not for me, Arsenal. I think Manchester City will have more of an eye on the Champions League this season. And I think Chelsea will be the opposite. I think they'll have more of an eye on the Premier League. I think that'll be the difference in the end. I just don't see Chelsea losing that many games the way they're playing. I think Mourinho's capable of shutting down and getting a draw when they go to the big teams if they need to. I think they're capable of, you know, of winning games healthily and having the best goal difference. So even if it's close, I'd still go Chelsea to win it, you know, by the odd point or two, even if City get going. But they'll have a better goal difference than City come the end of the season.
And just finally, we'll mention Liverpool. obviously we knew they were going to miss Suarez's goals. Without Sturridge as well, they didn't score. Balotelli's only just settling in. Is there a problem for goals with Liverpool? I mean, a team that scored over 100 Premier League goals last season, is there suddenly a problem scoring for them?
Well, my view was that you had to, and I've said this a few times, so apologies for repeating myself, but I still think it's true. The best way of covering up the Suarez goals that they're going to miss is not concede as many at the other end. Because a lot of, you know, you saw some of the results last year with threes and fours and fives. You don't need to win games 3, 4, and 5. You need to keep clean sheets and win them by 2 or 3. Never thought they were going to win the title this year. And now I'm starting to wonder about them finishing in the top four because of the Champions League. I think the Champions League will take so much of their energy. And I think they were lacklustre at the weekend against Aston Villa. And I think maybe they did have a little eye on the Champions League. Raheem Sterling was rested, came on as a sub. And you're right. You know, you have to score goals, and they're not, you know, without Sterling in the team and without Sturridge in the team, they looked like they were going to struggle to score and just looked lacklustre in general. And I think Villa are made for Liverpool in that respect. Villa love attacking on the counter-attack, and they've got players who can finish. So, yeah, I just thought a bit of a sucker punch in the end.
Okay, let's leave that there and let's turn our attention to the upcoming matches in the Champions League and the Europa League. Will start obviously on Tuesday in the Champions League, and a return to Europe's elite competition for Liverpool will start there. Liverpool are 2-9, the draw is 9-2, Ludogorets are 14-1. Liverpool back in the Champions League for the first time since 2009. Bit hit and miss this season, as we mentioned, maybe struggle for goals. Beaten by Villa 1-0 at the weekend. They take on the Bulgarian champions, Ludogorets, who are only the second Bulgarian team to reach the group stages of the Champions League after Levski Sofia. Reached the last 16 of the Europa League last season. Only been going since 2001 officially as a club, so they've made leaps and bounds, but is it going to be a step too far to get the better of Liverpool at Anfield? We've seen some pretty amazing Champions League nights at Anfield in the past.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But that must come into it. You know, as a player, when you go out the tunnel and the crowd's just, you know, electric, I think that must have a major impact. Ludogorets is fairly lucky to get here. You know, it was well tweeted about and everything else when Motti went in goal and scored his penalty and saved two penalties to get through to this stage. So fantastic that they've made it. I think they're going to be the whipping boys of this group, though. This group, I'll check this again while we're chatting, but if you see any special bets about the Champions League groups to be the highest scoring, I think this one will be the highest scoring. Liverpool, as I've just said, defensively still wide open. I think they will score goals, especially when Sturridge comes back into the team, with Sterling as well. Basel concede for fun. I think Ludogorets will get tonked by Real Madrid and maybe Liverpool and maybe Basel. Real Madrid score for fun as well, of course. So I think there's going to be loads of goals. I think Liverpool will bounce back from that Villa performance, and I think they will beat Ludogorets healthily. Ludogorets, they're not the best team. They're not even doing that well in Bulgaria this season either, to be honest. They play a kind of like one of these systems where they've got they can either have four at the back, and then they'll have two wingers and two central midfielders, but they can also bring that into the diamond, kind of, you know, the one behind the front player will come into a five as well. So I think that's the way they will shape up here. They won't go to Liverpool and try and beat them. I think they'll go there and try and shut them down, but Liverpool are just great in the first half. You know, this season not been quite the same, but last year 22 of their 55 home goals were in the first half an hour. You know, they really fly out the blocks, and that's how I see this. Because of the crowd, because of the Villa performance, I think they'll really come out flying.
Yeah, well, we've seen it time and time again. So would you look at something like the double result, Liverpool to win half time and full time at 8-13, bit better value, or
yeah,
something like
that?
Yeah,
decent. I mean, I like the handicap betting. I mean, I think Liverpool could win this 4-0, 3 or 4-0. Liverpool -2 is 17-10. That gives you a 3-goal clear victory. I think they will do that. 8-13 for -1, not bad either. You know, just a 2-goal victory in any form would land you that one. But that'd be my favourite bet in this one. I like Sterling to score. One bet that I liked pre the Sturridge injury, actually, was I don't think we've got it now. We had it before. Was the top goal scorer for Liverpool, and I thought Balotelli was a good price for that. I think he was like 4-1 to be the Liverpool top goal scorer. Now without Sturridge, there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and obviously he's played against top defences in World Cups and European Championships and in Champions League before. So I think he might get off the mark here as well for Liverpool. 8-13, skinny any time, but I do like that handicap bet -2 at 17-10.
Okay, Balotelli 8-13 any time, as you say. If he gets one, and Liverpool are, maybe two or more could be value at 14-5, 11-4 to score first, 11-4 to score last. So some potential value in there. What's your best bet in this game, then, Lee?
I'm going to go for goals. Like I say, I think -2 is sensible, 17-10. I'll take that. Ludogorets have got a bit of a problem over the goalkeeper because the keeper got sent off. Second string keeper isn't available either, so they might have to play the third string goalkeeper, which is Georgi Argalashki, who's not played any games this season yet. So this will be his first taste of football this season at Anfield in the Champions League. So a pretty big game for him. If there's any nerves, then I think that could play into Liverpool's hands. -2 goals for Liverpool, 17-10 for me.
Okay, some decent value in the overs and unders as well. Over 2.5, 1-2, that's skinny enough. But over 3.5 is 11-8. It's not the worst price in the world. Maybe they should put that centre back in there again.
Yeah, just play Motti in there. May as well. I reckon that's like beginner's luck, though, don't you? Yeah. He'll go in, if he went in goal again, he's going to concede 8.
Fair enough. Should be a nice return to York for Liverpool, then, in Lee's opinion. What about Arsenal? Let's move on to their game. They're away at Borussia Dortmund. Dortmund beat Bayern in the Super Cup, won 2 of their 3 Bundesliga matches, but they did lose 2-0 to Leverkusen. Arsenal, drawn 4 of the last 5 this season, still unbeaten but not winning games, drew 2-0 with City at the weekend, and these two have met a few times recently in Europe. There's not really much between the two sides when they meet in Europe.
No, and it was so skinny last year. I mean, they were unfortunate, Arsenal. 12 points each. It went on head-to-head goal difference, didn't it? So I think Arsenal won 1-0 in Dortmund last season, and Dortmund won 2-1 in at the Emirates.
Yeah.
So it was the two that won him it, and the second goal in that game, the winner, was scored by Robert Lewandowski. He's no longer at the club, and I don't think they've replaced him well enough. You'll see the headline offer there: Immobile to score and Borussia Dortmund to win. Well, he hasn't done that yet for Dortmund, and he's not half the player that Lewandowski is, to be, in my opinion. I don't think they've replaced him. Ramos has scored a couple of goals so far this season, but I think Dortmund are a worse team than they were last year. And in general, I think a lot of the German teams are on the slide, apart from Bayern Munich. I think they're, the standout team in Germany. Borussia Dortmund, from getting to the final, they seem to be slipping away bit by bit. I think Arsenal will win this group, actually. Only just, but I think they'll win the group. Now, can they go to Dortmund and get a win? I'm not sure. They did it last year, 1-0. And they've been to Bayern Munich and put in some very, very good performances. The problem with Arsenal, Mark, is that they've gone out in the round of 16 the last 4 seasons.
Yeah.
They don't draw enough games in the Champions League. I know that sounds daft, but in those last 4 seasons, they've played 36 matches. They've drawn 4 times.
It's all or nothing,
ridiculous.
Isn't it?
I mean, yeah. One of those draws was the 1-1 in Bayern Munich last season in the round of 16 stage. But that's the only draw in the round of 16 in all those 4 seasons. They need to be able to go away, get a scruffy draw, and then, and pick up the point in the group stage, and then take them back. You know, when they play them at the Emirates, then beat them. And, that's what Arsenal have to start doing. There's no signs of it, though. You look at them against City, they're too open all the time, aren't they?
Yeah.
I just wonder if they'll try and do that this time. If they'll try to be a bit more measured. The players don't really lend. I mean, maybe play Flamini and Arteta both in the middle of the park again and try and just keep it very, very solid. But they don't have the team. I think I'm going to go with the draw, 11-5. I mean, I do like Arsenal to win it because they won it last year, and I think they're obviously they've got quality in the team. But I just don't know if I can trust them to win the game. The Arsenal plus one, or the double chance Arsenal bet, it's a little bit skinny, really, to be perfectly honest. To be backing Arsenal plus a goal is 7-10.
Yeah.
You're getting two results, so it's not the worst price in the world. Arsenal draw, no bet, 6-4. Money back on the draw, 6-4 if Arsenal win. That'll probably be the way to play for me, I suppose. But I do like the draw, 11-5. I think it's a fair price. I looked at under 2.5 goals in this as well. It seems to be go against the grain because Borussia score goals and concede goals. But it's odds against. It's 23-20 for under 2.5 goals, which... you'd kind of be sat chewing your nails all match, wouldn't you? Because I don't think it'll be a tight game.
No.
I think there'll be lots of chances. I just don't know how many will be scored. Dortmund only had 3 shots on goal last year against Arsenal. So they've got the formula, Arsenal. And you could argue they've got a slightly better team this year as well. So, yeah, I'll go with... I like the draw, 11-5. For anyone who's a little less confident on that, Arsenal draw no bet, 6-4.
Okay. Just to mention the match prices, 11-10 for Dortmund. Draw is 11-5 and Arsenal 13-5. I'm just wondering if that 13-5 might be a little bit big on Arsenal. They do have a pretty good record in Germany in the Champions League. They've got such an abundance of pace now going forward that even if they do try and sit and be a bit tight with the likes of Arteta and Flamini in there and try and be solid, if they counter-attack running at you, it's going to be so hard to defend.
I do get that. And that's the way I see the game going. I just don't know if there'll be that many goals in the match. They've got a really good away record all of a sudden now, Arsenal, by the way. Only lost 1 in 7 away from home. That was to Napoli last season. And in that run, Bayern twice, Marseille, Beşiktaş, Fenerbahçe as well, among others. So you know they've picked up at home, away from home. I mean, and like I said, I think Dortmund are on the slide a bit. They also lost to Zenit as well as Arsenal last year in the Champions League. And I've watched them a bit this season in the Bundesliga, and not filling me full of confidence.
Okay, on to Wednesday next. Then Man City are in action on Wednesday evening. They take on Bayern Munich. Nice, easy way tie to start their campaign. Munich are 7-10. The draw is 13-5. Man City are 4-1. Bayern Munich unbeaten in the Bundesliga this season, although they did lose to Dortmund in the Super Cup. Knocked out by Real Madrid last season and went on to win it. Mm. Obviously won it the year before. Lost 3-2 to City in the group stages last season, though. So City maybe can fancy themselves to go there and get a result, but they haven't really had a good season in Europe yet since they got back into the Champions League.
Bit unlucky though, I think. You know, they've been drawn in very tough groups most years, and then even when they've got through to the round of 16, they found like one of the best teams in the world, you know, against them. So I think there are arguments that they've been unlucky, but I think they have to start really getting a bit further in the Champions League now. I don't think the round of 16 is good enough for them. I think if they did get to the quarterfinals, anything could happen from there on in, because they've got world-class players throughout the team. So I think that must be the aim, get to the quarterfinals for City. Winning the Premier League's brilliant, but, you know, I suppose two Premier League wins, now the players must be looking to the Champions League and to get into at least a semi-final berth. It is a pretty tough start, though, isn't it, going to Bayern Munich? I just wonder about the style of play. I wonder, they've been pretty gung-ho in past seasons. I wonder if they'll start to be a little bit more dogged now. Yeah. See the way they played in the Premier League, you know, not been particularly expansive, have they?
They've been very, very slow to start games, haven't they? Just tried to be a little bit more solid, I think, in the first half of games. But it's the whole seeding issue, isn't it, for City? Because there might be Premier League champions going into it for the seasons that they have or whatever, but because they haven't been in Europe before that for such a long time, they're getting all the difficult draws. And Bayern Munich at home is, well, it's one of the trickiest games in the Champions League.
Like you say, though, they won there last year, you know. Yeah. So you know, and they beat Bayern Munich at the Etihad the season before, you know. So it's not the last time they played them in the Champions League. So you know, they have got the measure of Bayern Munich. Do you remember back to last year? If they'd have won it by 2 clear goals, they'd have finished top of the group. But Pellegrini kind of got his maths a bit wrong and took players off, which seemed a bit daft at the time. Bayern, I think you mentioned there that they haven't started the Bundesliga brilliantly.
No.
Drew with Schalke, they usually beat Schalke out of sight. They've got a little bit of a problem with the centre-back formation as well. They've been playing 3 at the back. Badge Stuber's missing for this. Now, what they did when he got injured at the weekend was they put Lahm in his place. Now, Lahm's obviously a fabulous player, but he's not the biggest.
No.
If Dzeko's up against him, for instance, I wonder if he'll be able to cope with the aerial power of Dzeko. Other options, Alaba, who's been largely playing in midfield, or Benassia, who they've signed from Roma, who hasn't played this season yet, but he's a big player, good player, obviously. So if he goes in, that'd be interesting how he takes to the field, and if he's confident enough, if he's fit enough to play. So yeah, a little bit of an issue at the back for Bayern Munich. I think they're a bit short, Mark, even though they're a very, 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 very good side.
Yeah.
I do think they're a bit short at 7-10. City, I think City will go there and try and get a scruffy draw. And that, a little bit like Arsenal, that's what they've been missing for me. The ability just to go away, get a point in the group stages, or go away and get a 1-1 with that away goal cushion, take them back to Manchester and beat them there. I think they might set up for a draw here. And I think I'm going to go for the draw at 13-5. I don't think either. I think most teams know they'll probably go through from this group. Galatasaray might be a bit of a fly in the ointment, but I think they'll both go through. And I think it'll come down to how many goals they beat the other teams by. So I don't see City going out absolutely flying at them for a win. I just think City know that they can sit in, and if they get three chances in the game, they're going to score one, maybe two of them, because Aguero's so good.
Yeah.
It's a big price, though, isn't it? Aguero to score at Man City to win, 9-1.
It is a big price. Aguero's goal-scoring form has been phenomenal, and he's
so good.
Getting back to full fitness now. He's on his way. I mean, the other one's not too bad. If you fancy Bayern, Lewandowski to score and Bayern to win, 2-1. He's a goal scorer, isn't he?
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just looks a bit skinny for me at 2-1. All the prices around Bayern just look a bit skinny. I'm gonna trust that my judgment on City is right, and they're not going to do what they've done in previous seasons. They're going to be a little bit more stable. Torre will come back into the team as well, of course. And I think, you know, strong defences, unless you're an absolutely amazing team, strong defences win the Champions League. And I think, you know, that's, you know, when we've seen it all get further, when we've seen Chelsea do really well in the Champions League, that's what they did, you know, under Mourinho, went into Milan, did very well. And I think, you know, good defences first and foremost, don't concede too many goals, and that's what City have done in past group stages. So I'm looking for a real dogged City performance and a draw for me, 13-5. There's no card markets, but when the card markets come out, City to have the most bookings is a really good bet. I think it'll be, I don't know, if it's any shorter than like 8-11, then maybe don't take it. But this tactic they've got of niggly fouls in the middle of the park, when the opposition break them down or they get the ball, they just chuck in a little niggly foul, a little bit like the South American teams did in the World Cup, and they break up play, then they get back in position. They had more yellow cards than Bayern Munich in both their away games there in previous years, more than Borussia Dortmund as well when they played them in the Champions League, more than Arsenal at the weekend. That's what they do, and they'll just pick up, you know, niggly fouls, and they'll pick up a yellow or two. The players are disciplined enough to know when to stop, but they get away with it for about 45, 60 minutes, and then suddenly the ref goes, all right, that's enough of you, card. And if you watch it, you'll see it happening more and more.
Okay, so City to maybe go and get something out of the game, then possibly an ugly draw, as Lee put it. Chelsea against Schalke, the other game on Wednesday evening. Chelsea are 4-11, the draw 7-2. Schalke are 8-1, including friendlies. Chelsea have won their last six games, have been pretty impressive this season. Top of the Premier League, 100% record. Diego Costa's scoring goals for fun, 7 already since signing for Chelsea. So everything seems rosy in the Chelsea camp. Not so much for Schalke. They've had a disastrous start. They're 17th in the Bundesliga with only 1 point. Haven't won a game. They lost in the cup as well. And if you look back to last season, they met in the Champions League. Chelsea beat Schalke 3-0 at Stamford Bridge, and then went to Gelsenkirchen, won 3-0 there as well. So Schalke aren't going to have improved.
No,
from that either.
No, they haven't. They haven't improved. I mean, they've still got the likes of classic Jan Huntelaar, Jefferson Farfan, although he's injured, and Julian Drexler. So still got some good players, but no, not for me. This is one of the teams who I was talking about a little bit earlier, when I said I think German football is on the slight decline, apart from Bayern Munich. I just think they look poor. You know, conceding 4 at Borussia Mönchengladbach at the weekend. It's just not good enough. And Chelsea scoring for fun. The one thing I would say about Chelsea is just a little bit of a warning about the Champions League. I do think they'll concentrate more on the Premier League. I'm not saying they're going to chuck the Champions League away or anything, but if you look at their group games, after this game, they play Manchester City. After the Sporting game, they've got Arsenal. After the Maribor game, they've got Manchester United. After the next game against Maribor, the away game against Maribor, they've got Liverpool. it's crazy. It's not until the last two group games, when they've got Sunderland and Hull, when they come back from. But they're big games. Now, luckily, Chelsea have got such a fabulous squad that I think they could probably put a second string team out, or, you know, maybe 5 or 6 changes, and still beat Schalke fairly well. I mean, you know, you wouldn't have any problem about resting Costa and putting Remy in with Drogba on the bench. You know, we've got Schürrle and Willian, you know, Hazard, Oscar, Ramirez, Fabregas. There's so many good players. Mohamed Salah. Just got players everywhere. Great players everywhere. So just check the team news on this. If they put out the full team, I think they could beat them four or five.
Yeah.
If they put out the reserve team, I think maybe three will do it again. But Schalke have got worse for me, and they got beat 3-0. Chelsea are much better and much more focused, scoring goals. I was amazed, Mark, when I looked at the handicaps on this. I was, you know, when you look for a bet and you kind of formulate your, in your mind, I've got a bet that I like here.
Yeah.
And then you go to the market and you think, oh, God, that's a terrible price. This was the opposite. I couldn't believe that Chelsea, minus one goal, is 10 to 11.
Yeah.
That's my bet of the week. I just think that's a great price. You need to win 2-0 or 3-1. You know, two-goal victory for 10 to 11. I think that's a great, great price. Love it.
Yeah, very, very good price.
Yeah.
Chelsea minus two would land if they get three or four as well. And
I really like that, but because yeah. I like, because the similar to the Liverpool game, I wanted Liverpool minus one, but it's a little bit skinny, so I've gone and chased a bit of value there. Maybe the wrong thing to do. Maybe the Chelsea minus one, Liverpool minus one double might be the bet.
Yeah.
For instance, if you want to do it that way. But Chelsea minus one, 10 to 11. And just the Chelsea win, if you're having an acca, that should just go in every acca, 4 to 11.
Yes.
I'd be amazed if they lose this.
Hard to see past Chelsea then. Diego Costa scoring Chelsea to win is 5 to 4 on the headline offer if he starts. That looks a very good bet because it's landed every time they've played this season. Huntelaar to score and Schalke to win is 14 to 1, but that would be... I'd want a bigger price personally myself because I can't see Schalke getting anything from this, let alone a win. Do you see Chelsea winning to nil here?
Yes, I think I do, yeah. I mean, the I thought they'd win to nil at the weekend, though.
And they have been vulnerable at the back a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah, which is strange, isn't it? I mean, the first one was an own goal, wasn't it? And it was unfortunate. Yeah, I do think they win to nil, but because I've been stung by that a couple of times, I'll probably just swerve it a little bit. I think that's probably why I went on the handicaps, just because I think Chelsea will score three or four. And even if Schalke did get one, then you know that would still land on the minus one. In terms of goal scorers, I'd probably, because of the prices, I'd probably avoid the strikers and maybe go for, you know, again, check your team news, but Schürrle or Hazard, just to get an odds against price, on the player to score and Chelsea to win. I mean, Hazard 6-5, Fabregas 13-10. It's not a bad price.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar, Willian, if some of these other players do start the game, Ramirez breaking from the midfield if he starts 14-5. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd probably have a look at some of the slightly bigger prices rather than the odds on strikers.
Okay, fair enough. Goals throughout the team though, so you'd do well to find one that's not going to be in.
It should be easy this for Chelsea.
Yeah. Okay, so a very simple task for Chelsea then. Obviously, they'll have an eye on the weekend with, as you mentioned, the tricky ties coming up after their Champions League match.
Yeah, and I suppose if you're looking at this one in play and they've gone two up or maybe even three up early in the second half, and they might just ease right off then and start to make some substitutions. So with that big game at the weekend in mind, so it might be worth, if they do go up, you know, three up or whatever, quickly, then maybe go in, you know, go unders on the goals then, even if they're playing really well, go unders on the goals for the last like 20 minutes, half an hour of the match.
Okay. Moving on to the Europa League, group stages return there on Thursday evening, and a couple of English sides in action. We've got Spurs away at Partizan Belgrade and Everton at home to Wolfsburg. We've also got Celtic as well. We'll touch on them. They're away at Salzburg. Starting with Spurs, they're away at Partizan Belgrade, who are top of the Serbian Superliga, a 100% record so far, played 5, won 5, lost only one of their last 23 home games. Spurs 6th in the Premier League with 7 points. They've become fairly established in Europe in recent years, and some of the players that they spent a lot of money on seem to be settling in now, like some Nasser Chadli and so on. So, do you see Tottenham overcoming Partizan's very, very good home record?
I'm not sure, actually. I think it'd be a good game, though. I was looking at Spurs' away performances in the Europa League last season. Probably didn't play anyone quite as good as this, but won 2-0 in each of the three away group games they had last season. In fact, in the last 8 away games in the Europa League, they've only failed to score 2 or more once. So they've really been going away and opening up against teams. They tended to play kind of second string teams under previous managers. So it'll be interesting to see how they go this time at Tottenham. But I expect them to do all right. I mean, I was just going to have a look at the goals, the over 2.5 goals in this one, because Partizan score loads. And obviously Spurs, as I said, you know, do like scoring goals away from home. I don't see them setting up necessarily for the draw in this one. So, you know, I do think there will be I do think there will be goals in it. It's just how many, and if Tottenham do decide to go and try and shut them down, doesn't really see seem to be Tottenham's way though, does it? You know, conceding two at Sunderland.
Yeah.
Should have won that game, Tottenham, really. So, yeah, over 2.5, 4-5.
Not bad. Yeah,
I can see it. Really can, because of the way that Partizan set up as well. They're a very attacking team. Danko Lazovic, if you're looking for goal scorers, by the way, might be worth a look. Already in the goals, he's scored 8 in 11 so far to start the season off. 5 of those in the domestic league, and the other 3 in the Champions League before they drop down to this level. I think he's part of the headline offer, actually. Which, by the way, looks a massive price, the headline offer. Lazovic to score and Partizan to win, 12-1.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that you mentioned that stat, 1 defeat in 23,
mm-hmm.
4 draws. So the rest were wins.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're a very confident home team. Can you imagine? The atmosphere will be fantastic, won't it? That, although I don't think they will necessarily win the game, I think that's a massive price, Lazovic to score, Partizan win, 12-1. If they do win, chances are he's on the score sheet. Ah, it's nice, that. But I mean, he's 14-5 any time.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful.
For a man, he's got 4 goals this season. He's in good form, man.
Yeah. Mm. I do like that. He's been, you know, he's in the team regularly. Yeah, it just seems a bit odd that in his home stadium he's 14-5 to score a goal. So
yeah.
Yeah, just on value grounds, that and the 12-1 for me. But I do think it'll probably the over 2.5 is just the sensible, taking the outrights out of it bet.
Yeah, because it could go. I mean, I think Tottenham are short at 4-6. To be
very
honest,
very.
But then again,
they're no mugs, are they?
No, exactly. Yeah. Okay, Everton also in action on Thursday evening. They take on Wolfsburg. Everton are 23-20. The draw is 23-10, and Wolfsburg are 12-5. Everton have had a pretty solid start, although they've only won one game.
Mm.
But they've been involved. I mean, they've drawn with Leicester and Arsenal. They were obviously in front against Arsenal and got pegged back. Lost 6-3 to Chelsea without really being out of the game. It was just Chelsea took their chances brilliantly well. And they beat West Brom 2-0 at the weekend with a pretty nice performance.
Yeah.
They take on Wolfsburg, who are 13th in the Bundesliga. Another German side yet to win a game.
Mm.
They've played 3, drawn 2 and lost 1, and that defeat was against Bayern, though. So I suppose it's not been the you know, a disastrous start. How do you see it going, Leo? I mean, a bit tricky this one.
It is tricky, isn't it? I mean, you'd have to say with home advantage, you know, Everton should go well. But I've not been that impressed by them this season. You know, last year I was kind of proved wrong. But I thought that Everton would leak too many goals last season, and they didn't. They were much better than I thought they would be. It seems like this year that's coming true. They're leaking far too many goals. And although Wolfsburg aren't particularly great, you know, their away record in the Europa League isn't too clever. I mean, you're going back a bit, that they haven't been in the Europa League since 2010, but generally they haven't travelled well. Even in the Bundesliga, they're not a brilliant away team by any stretch of the imagination. Then Everton haven't won a home game this season. The 2-2 and the 6-3. They've only won one home game in the last 5, stretching the summer, and that was against Man U. Lost to Palace at the end of last season, and then lost to Manchester City on the 3rd of May. But look at the goals. I mean, 6-3, Chelsea beat them. 2-2, Arsenal. 3-2, City. Beat Man U 2-0. Palace beat them 3-2. So lots of goals. I wonder if it could be a similar one here. I'm not sure about the win. Again, they should win this, really, Everton. If Wolfsburg are down 13th in the Bundesliga, Everton 10th, should win it. But Lukaku looked like he was getting back to something like his old self.
Mm-hmm.
7-5 any time. Shouldn't really be that price, I don't think. I don't think he'd be that price in the Premier League.
That's fair enough.
It's hard. Where do you think Wolfsburg would finish in the Premier League? I mean, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to know where they would be. Would they be a middle?
I think
lower.
2 points doesn't look brilliant for Wolfsburg, but I think the performances have been better than that.
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
I think if Wolfsburg were in the Premier League, they might be maybe a Leicester. Someone like that, I guess. You know, that kind of level where they're probably going to finish somewhere between 10th and 15th, maybe. I don't think Lukaku would be 7-5 to score against that level of team. I think he'd be closer to even money, if not odds on. So that's a nice price. I've been regular listeners will know that I've got a bit of a love affair with Stephen Naismith. He doesn't have many shots, and he scores quite a lot of goals. He missed an absolute sitter this weekend. When he could have just dinked it over the keeper.
If he had scored that, he'd have scored in every game for about
19
season.
To 10.
Yeah.
What he does is he just picks up all the scraps from Lukaku.
Yeah.
He just finds himself in front of goal going, all right, swing your foot that one again. So 19 to 10 for him is not bad. You know, in a home game against Wolfsburg, nothing to be scared about with Wolfsburg. So, yeah, I'd probably rather go on the goal scorer bets than the actual outrights on this one.
Okay. Both teams to score, I think, might be of appeal here.
Yeah.
Just trying to find the price on that. It's down in goals, isn't it?
Too many markets, isn't it? I never thought I'd say there's too many markets, but there are too many markets.
Both teams to score, yes, 7-10. Not the best price in the world. But
no, but you might have picked that up in the first half, Mark.
Yeah.
You might have landed that bet in the first half, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I mean, Everton's defence has been so leaky recently.
Yeah. Everton, match result, both teams score as well, 16-5 if you do lean, and Wolfsburg 5-20 if you are leaning towards either side.
I didn't spot this in the prep that I was doing, but in the Bundesliga, which is a good division, obviously, Wolfsburg have scored in 15 straight away games.
Very good.
Which
very
is quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be fair. And you know, there's some, you know, they've played, obviously in that run they've played some decent teams as well. Scored at Borussia Dortmund, at Bayern Munich, you know, so you know, nowhere they can score wherever they go, it looks like. So that both teams score might be a very nice bet.
And they've also obviously got Lord Bentner in the lineup now as
I meant to say that. I mean, and Olic as well, by the way, who's obviously a quality striker who's been around a while. But yeah, Bentner yet to get off the mark. I mean, he's the headline offer, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Him to score and Wolfsburg to win.
Bentner.
In fact, Nicholas Bentner to score and Wolfsburg to score is the headline offer.
All right.
That might be. Well, I mean, if that's not related contingency, I don't know what it is.
I think they may change that. We might have to let them know about that one because that's Twitter will be alight with people wanting to claim that bet, won't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bentner to score and Wolfsburg to score
7-1.
I'm sure that's the same thing.
Yeah,
it looks decent.
Fair enough.
Not Bentner.
No.
Just the both teams to score.
Both teams to score. Yes. Is that how you play it then? Just something like that. Overs
yeah.
on the goals.
Yeah. I mean, the overs on the goals looks nice, but I'm just going to go with take your pick. Either Lukaku or Naismith. I'll go with Naismith. I'll stick by him. 19-10 just to grab a goal.
Go on then. I'll go with Lukaku. So we've got both bases covered.
Then we can claim a winner if one of them scores.
Moving on to the final game we're going to look at. Celtic make the trip to Austria to play Salzburg. And Salzburg are 4-9. The draw is 16-5. Celtic 13-2. We all know about Celtic in the Champions League and all the goings on with that. They enter the Europa League here, Lee, but they've not been in very good form, really.
No. First win for ages, really. It wasn't all that ages. But, you know, I think we spoke about the Maribor game, didn't we? Since they got the reprieve in the Champions League, they've only won once, and that was at the weekend against Aberdeen. I don't rate Celtic at all. Don't rate them going away from home. One away win in the last 8 Europa League matches. 2 away wins in the last 12 Champions League matches. It's not great, is it? And Salzburg are pretty handy, actually. They're full of goals. The second in the Austrian Bundesliga. They've played 8 games, so they're a bit further into their season than Celtic are. They've got 18 points. They've got a plus 26 goal difference.
I know.
I mean, it's just crazy. Jonathan Soriano is the man. Unfortunately, I was really hoping this would be one of those where we'd get an odds against price on a goal scorer, but the traders are all over him. 4-6 to score any time. Spanish striker. 15-12 he's got. He scored 5 against Grodig, which was, I think it was just a Bundesliga home game. But yeah, they won 8-0 Salzburg, and he grabbed 5 of them. He's scoring plenty of goals. Also scoring in Europe this season already. Scored in Europe in previous seasons. I think it's 6-4 for him to score and Salzburg to win. It's not good enough for me.
Just look at their results.
I mean, unbelievable.
They've been sold out 10-1 in the Cup. They beat Rapid Vienna 6-1. Yeah. They beat Neustadt.
They're fourth, Rapid Vienna.
Yeah. They score goals for fun.
Oh, crazy, isn't it? It's like, you know, they do score a lot of goals. Do you know what? I'd love to have a bet on Salzburg to score over 2.5 and Soriano to score, innit? I mean, 2 or more is 3-1.
Yeah. He's the headline offer, by the way. Soriano.
Just a bit skinny.
Salzburg 6-4.
Is it a bit skinny? Would you take that?
I'd take that, I think. Yeah. I think The only
it's looked a bit skinny for two things to happen.
Yeah,
but they should win.
The only slight question mark is that they're arriving on the back of three straight defeats, which
I know, is really strange, isn't it? They did really well. I mean, they went the first of those defeats was in the Champions League, the qualifying stages. They lost 3-0 in Malmo, having won the first leg. Then they've lost to Sturm Graz and Wolfsburg in the Bundesliga, which is real strange. It's quite strange for them. Wolfsburg are top, Sturm Graz fifth, so no shame. You know, I'm not saying they're terrible results, but. Back to back defeats. I think that I think they'll beat Celtic. I think they could beat Celtic quite handily here. You know,
mm-hmm.
Celtic just don't really get me going at all. I'm afraid I'm not mad keen on the manager. Like you said, the domestic form's been pretty poor. Salzburg. I was just looking at the handicap. Salzburg minus a goal is 19-20.
What about Salzburg to win and over 2.5 goals in the game? That usually adds a bit of value, doesn't it?
Yeah. Price for that is 5-6.
Well, that's not really...
It's not. The traders are all over them, aren't they? That's the problem. And you end up kind of chasing the value a little bit. All right. What about... I'll stick with... Soriano to score first is 14-5. Again, that's quite skinny. Look, I just think Salzburg are going to win this and win it quite well. I'll probably just go on that handicap bet. You know, it's only set 19-20, but minus a goal... for a team who scored bucketfuls of goals at home against Celtic, who struggle away from home in Europe generally and who don't look the team they even were last year, that'll do me.
Okay, just looking at Soriano to score first or last, which is the market we have now, that's 13-10.
Yeah.
You know, he scores a couple. If it's only one goal in the game, then you'd get that because it's first and
yeah.
You know.
That's
and last.
Yeah. I want to back him.
Yeah.
That's probably the way I would back him. 13-10.
Okay.
But we get a lot of people on InPlay Radio who like having goal scorer hackers. He should go in any goal scorer hacker you're having this midweek at 4-6 anytime.
Yep, good recommendation. Is it about time we did the naps?
We don't do naps midweek, luckily. But we can do one if you want.
No,
just because it's a special occasion. Have you got one?
I was going to give Keller an absolute stinker just to ruin his tour.
No, we don't do a midweek. But you can. I mean, have you got one?
I just really, really like the Chelsea result. Chelsea minus one on the handicap. Yeah. 10-11 is great
value. And I'll agree with
you. I thought that would have been your
nap, to be fair. Yeah, that is. I love that. I just think it's one of those where I don't see how it won't land until 10 o'clock on the night when it didn't land.
Yeah. Oh, it didn't land.
God, how did that not land? Yeah. No, but seriously, I do think it will land. As I said, 3-0 home, 3-0 away last season. Schalke are worse, Chelsea are better.
Yeah.
Go figure. The only thing is that Man City game looming on the horizon. If they just go, you know, just don't really put the foot on the pedal, but I think they will. They can't help but score goals at the minute.
No, it's frightening how easy they're scoring goals. Good stuff, Lee. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to fill in and speak to you about football. So good luck and enjoy it this week.
Well, thank you for filling the gap. Otherwise, it would just been me talking.
It'd have been a delight, I'm sure.
No one wants that.
Good stuff, Lee. Enjoy it this week.
Cheers, Mark.
And if you're having a bet, good luck. You'll hear all the action on William Hill's InPlay Radio as well. And enjoy the European football this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.